The first scripture reading is from the New Testament, Book of Matthew, chapter 15, reading verses 10 through 28. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to Jesus, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56. "Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them, besides those already gathered." This is the word of God for the people of God. It's been an interesting couple of weeks here in the United States. An invitation to unite the right brought many out-of-town people to Charlottesville, Virginia. They were responding to an invitation. That invitation said that the rally had originally been intended to oppose removing a statue of Robert E. Lee, but that it was now bigger than that. It was a rally to, and I quote, "join Asmodor and the Daily Stormer to end Jewish influence in America." As you might expect, This invitation brought a veritable smorgasbord of white nationalists, Ku Klux Klan members, and self-described Nazis from across the United States and Canada to this sleepy college town. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of conflict about the events of that day. If you want to know where I get my facts, this sermon, like every sermon I preach here, will go up on the congregation's website after the service with links to my sources. This invitation I mentioned has been preserved, as have eyewitness accounts to everything that happened. I have friends and acquaintances who were there, among the nonviolent clergy counter-protesters. They were physically attacked by these Nazis multiple times. Multiple times they feared for their lives. The rally culminated in a car being driven into a crowd of innocent people, killing a woman named Heather Heyer and injuring 19 other people. A young man from Maumee, Ohio, has been arrested and jailed for this crime. I am certain there were decent human beings who wandered into this rally and did not want the statue removed. There's no question of that. However, they had the opportunity to realize that the people they were marching with were chanting Nazi slogans like Sieg Heil and Blood and Soil and Jews Will Not Replace Us. They had the opportunity to ask, why are we standing threateningly with guns outside the synagogue during Saturday services? What does this have to do with a statue of Robert E. Lee? They had the opportunity to say, this is a few steps beyond what I signed up for. They had the opportunity to quietly leave, and I'm sure that most of them did. Despite calls to burn the synagogue, the police did not provide extra security when asked. They said that despite the threat, they did not have the resources. Temple President Alan Zimmerman sent the congregation in small groups out the back door because it was not safe to exit alone or out the front. After that weekend, the same website that had issued the invitation to the rally published a truly vile editorial explaining that the death of the late Heather Heyer was really a benefit to the world, not a loss, because she was a 32-year-old woman who had no children, and thus she had less than no value. These events in Charlottesville that I'm describing were not about left and right. They were not about Democrat and Republican. They were about good and evil. I know you all know this, but let me say something clearly, something I had once believed no longer needed to be said in America. Racism is sin. Slavery is sin. It always was. Antisemitism is sin. Misogyny is sin. No exceptions. These things are linked together. They are all about judging another person as less than human. That person was made in the image of God. When you do that, you defile the image of God. No exceptions. No, but it's just those people. No exceptions. No, it's not serious. No exceptions. Jesus said that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For what comes out of the heart, for out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. We've discussed the parable of the wheat and the tares. You may remember we discussed them as what scientists call a fractal pattern. This is a pattern you see that repeats itself at different sizes. If you look at frost crystals on a window in the winter, for example, you see a pattern in the crystals. When you look at those same crystals with a magnifying glass, you'll see the same pattern, smaller. If you break out a microscope, you'll see the same pattern, even smaller. You can see the same phenomenon of fractals in grains of wheat, and in broccoli, in snowflakes, and in the rings of Saturn. Good and evil are like that. The dividing line between the wheat and tares does not go down the center of this room. It goes through my heart. It goes through Carolyn's heart and your heart. Each and every one of us has good and evil in us. Each and every one of us does good things and bad things. There's another fractal level smaller. Psychologists tell us that every decision that each of us makes is a mixture. Each one of us does things for multiple reasons, some of them pure and blameless, others not so much. It's difficult often, even for us, to sort out our own reasons for things we do. Which reasons are good and which are not? Which are important reasons and which are excuses we tell ourselves? There's another level, though, a level larger than the individual person, rather than smaller. The words and events in Charlottesville, like it or not, came out of the mouths of Americans. They reflect something in a society, in the soul of America. People don't have to hit each other with clubs or with cars to exhibit and spread these kinds of values. People don't have to march with torches or chant Nazi slogans to spread these kinds of values. That's the big version of the fractal pattern. The pattern shows up smaller in our language and in the language and behavior we tolerate in those around us. I have a friend who's a talented artist, a metalsmith. His maker's mark is the Star of David. Recently, a customer at an art show looked at his wares with his maker's mark, looked at the banner behind my friend with the Star of David. The man then made a purchase and said to him, "Sorry, man, I don't mean to Jew you down, but I'm $2 short." That is a small version of a fractal pattern. When we look at the kids skateboarding in the parking lot, and yes, if you're here during the week, yes, they do. And the first thing we notice is the color of their skin. We are saying, if only to ourselves, that their race is the most important thing about them, more important than their specific identity or their behavior. We are putting Mother Teresa and Charles Manson in the same category, as better than Martin Luther King or St. Augustine. When we don't challenge others who do that, we say that it's okay to judge people solely on their skin color. That is a small version of a fractal pattern. When we assume that a surgeon or a CEO or another person holding a prestigious job must necessarily be a man, we take a little bit of perceived legitimacy away from any woman who holds that position. We force her to prove herself one more time. When we accept these kinds of assumptions from other people, we say that's okay. That is a small version of a fractal pattern. Look at the banner to your right. Y'all didn't hire me because I was so wonderfully subtle. Members of this congregation made this banner years ago to illustrate the Declaration of Barmen, a confession of the Christian Church that was written in Germany in 1934. There are two symbols there. We can choose one. We can choose either the swastika or the cross. We don't get to choose just for ourselves. We don't get to not choose. Not choosing is choosing. Saying that you are above politics is choosing. Saying that you're not going to get involved in what other people say around you is choosing. And it is not choosing the way of God. Our choices are small fractal patterns. They add up. They build upon one another and create the same pattern writ large in our world. We can choose the swastika, which is racism and anti-Semitism and misogyny, or we can choose the cross, which is the way of the God who says that there is no longer Jew nor Greek, there is no longer slave nor free, there is no longer male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. By what we say and do, and by what we accept others saying and doing around us, we make that choice every day. We will never get it perfect. We will never have a single day where we do everything perfectly. That's okay. We are called to do the best that we can do. We're called to note our knee-jerk reactions and do better. Pay attention to how we view people. And remember, every person we see was created in the image of God. We can serve God and all the people whom God made in God's own image. Or we can spit on God's image. As the Israelite leader Joshua said, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen.